You're listening to the STC Foundation's podcast. This year we're looking at the four Gospels, an opportunity on a Monday to Friday to worship and pray as we reflect on a thought from the Bible.
Welcome to Wednesday's podcast. Our reading today is Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 to 32, but today we'll focus on verse 22. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. A thought for the day. The reality is, anger is part of life. It's a perfectly normal human response. We've all seen it, we've all experienced it. Anger is as much a physiological response as emotional. For example, our brains and our bodies change. Adrenaline flows, our hunger can disappear, and in men particularly have an increase in testosterone. Not all anger is wrong. Jesus experienced and displayed anger. For example, he turned over the tables in the temple area in Matthew 21, verses 12. Anger can be a really positive, powerful force for good. It can inspire us to want to make a change, to challenge, to stand against oppressive political regimes, or to campaign for truth. And as believers, we're called to tackle and highlight injustice that we see around us, which is a response to what the Bible calls righteous anger. The Bible also talks about the wrath of God in lots of different places, God's anger at sin and unholy, ungodly living. There is, however, anger that is unhelpful and harmful. The Sermon on the Mount, or Jesus' Manifesto as it's known, is very challenging on this. The standard Jesus sets is very high, and Jesus is very, very clear. Now, the context for today's verse is that the religious leaders, the scribes and the Pharisees and the like, had been debating the minutiae of the legal interpretation of the sixth commandment, do not kill. You know, was it just for murder? Was it ever lawful to take a life? And so on. That was the debate. And Jesus goes right to the heart of the issue. What causes someone to want to murder? This action starts in the heart. Starts in the internal world, and it starts often with anger. So Jesus is very clear. Even if you harbour anger at someone, it's the same as wanting them dead in his mind. Wow. He's blowing the ethical debate of the day around the legal interpretation of the sixth commandment out of the water. He's saying, we have all been angry with someone. We've all had unpleasant thoughts about somebody, and most of us will have exploded at anger at some point. Anger can manifest itself in different ways. I once heard of a student who was sharing a house with somebody he didn't like. Each night he'd take the guy's toothbrush and rub it round the inside of the toilet. That's an example of passive anger. So if you're sharing a house, I recommend tonight you bleach your toothbrush. In 1 John 3:15, Jesus says, anyone who hates a brother is a murderer. It's really strong stuff. Jesus takes anger really seriously. And he wants us to deal with it really quickly, not to let it fester. And if we don't deal with anger, it can overflow. It can quickly lead to bitterness, where our hearts get hardened, and that can lead to hatred. And bitterness and hatred can have a very serious effect on our lives. Not only can it affect our mental health, but it can affect our physical health too. Roald Dahl, the wonderful children's writer, captures this beautifully in his book, The Twits. Here's how he describes Mrs. Twit. If a person has ugly thoughts, it begins to show on their face. And when that person has ugly thoughts every day, every week, every year, that face gets uglier and uglier until you can hardly bear to look at it. A person who has good thoughts cannot ever be ugly. You can have a wonky nose and a crooked mouth and a double chin and sticky out teeth, but if you have good thoughts, it will shine out of your face like sunbeams and you'll always look lovely. Now, I don't know whether Roald Dahl is based on that, on medical evidence, I've no idea, but we do know that unresolved anger and bitterness can affect us deeply. So how do we deal with it? The US chat show host Stephen Colbert on The Late Late Show interviewed the former US President Jimmy Carter, now 93. A professing Christian Carter, Jimmy Corbett asked him, "How do you deal with your political enemies?" Carter paused for a moment and then said, "I dealt with the animosities I used to cherish and forgave them." That's such a powerful line. I dealt with the animosities I used to cherish. Jesus' words later in verse 23 urge us to deal with anger in a very practical way. He offers two pictures, one a courtroom, one a temple. In the temple, he says, get right with somebody before you worship, and if you're going to court, settle it out of court quickly beforehand. It's the same for us. And every Sunday here at STC, like many churches around the world, there's a pause, a moment in the gathering where we share what's called the peace. And there's a deeper meaning to this. Yes, we're praying God's peace on somebody, the shalom of God, but we're actually wanting to be at peace with that person. It's a moment in the gathering, as it was intended for in the New Testament, that if there is a problem with somebody, a believer in the church, you sit down and deal with it, make peace and work it out. After all, one of the Beatitudes, the beautiful attitudes described at the beginning of the Sermon on Mount says this, blessed are the peacemakers. There's no way to mince Jesus' words today. He is encouraging us in the strongest possible terms to deal with our anger. And how can we put into practice Jesus' words in verse 23? Is there someone today we need to see? Is there somebody we need to talk? Is there somebody we need to call? Is there somebody we need to write a letter and say sorry, seek forgiveness? Jesus' words are clear. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, these words are challenging. And I today pray, Lord, that challenge will settle in our hearts and that we may put these words into practice. I pray that for myself. Pray that for everybody listening. And Lord, I pray that by your Spirit you'll help us to do it. In Jesus' name, amen. Our reading today is Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 to 32. You've heard it that it was said to the people long ago, you should not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or a sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, Raka, is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there you remember that your brother or your sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them, and then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you may still be together on the way, or your adversary may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will not get out until you've paid the last penny. You have heard it said, you should not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. It has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, makes her the victim of adultery. And anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery.
We enter your gates with thanksgiving, and with thanksgiving, we enter your gates. We pour out your praise in your presence, and in your presence, we pour out your praise. Shining all around.